Journeys from the Land of Jaw, a missional tale. I'm Pastor Phil Wyman from The Gathering in Salem, Massachusetts, and this is Chapter 14 of Journeys from the Land of Jaw. The supplies provided for the small troop were ample, but as it turned out, so was the journey back home. A wildly winding path snaked along the small but steep hills and valleys. The going was slow because the path grew narrow. At once it steeply rose to the crest of a brambled hill and suddenly dropped into wet, overgrown canyons. The path would at one moment be rocky and uneven, and the next muddy and slippery. Stubbed toes and muddy backsides were soon experienced by the team. Only the lean young man from the sad family, who appeared to have the grace of a gazelle upon the path, walked unscathed and unmuddied by the treacherous road. For 2 days, the travelers made a slow progression. To the surprise of the adventurer and his father, the curvy, curly redhead traveled like a seasoned adventurer without complaint, even laughing through the occasional calamity of slipping in the mud and rising with a soiled butt. Flying Man worried at every step that the curvy, curly redhead might fall or get hurt, but found himself dancing with glee each time she proved herself resilient and excited in the journey. Early on the third day of their travels, as the five adventurers came to the top of a steep hill with a few strong but gnarled trees, they saw a small village in the next valley below them. Hidden among the deep brush were small huts, each with the smoke of a homey fire rising from their clay chimneys. The sight caused the adventurer's father to smile, breathe deep, and stand still, not noticing the poisonous serpent on the path beneath his feet curling up to strike. Just as he looked down in time to see the serpent's head cocked back in preparation for the strike, and before he could yell or jump aside, a great shout came from the tree above him, and Flying Man came crashing down, belly first, upon the serpent before it struck. Flying Man laid unmoving on the dusty, rock-strewn road as the travelers stared in wonder at the sight. When the surprise of the moment wore off, the curvy, curly redhead ran to his side, knelt down beside him, and gently touched his head. She leaned forward to speak into his ear. The others leaned forward and stood silently in desperate hope for a sign of life. The curvy, curly redhead whispered something inaudible into the ear of the dead, still Flying Man. A deep moan rose from the ground. And Flying Man began to slowly lift himself up, moaning and saying, "Oh, don't touch me. Oh, that hurts." Within a few short minutes, Flying Man was attempting to dance and lifting his hands in a clumsy, painful-looking celebration. "Oh, yeah. Rise up with wings like an eagle. I can crush the serpent's head. I can do all things by Jaw." Soon the whole team was laughing and rejoicing, checking out Flying Man's bruises and cuts, which were the worst things he had suffered. The adventurer's father took a moment to look wonderingly at the crushed serpent. And as he turned to thank Flying Man for saving his life, he looked up to see a small group of barefooted country folk, each carrying a large satchel, staring at them. As soon as his eyes met theirs, the barefooted country folk began to jump up and down with happiness and shout for praise to Jaw. Before the travelers knew what was happening, they were being ushered down into the Valley of Huts by the barefooted country folk who carried Flying Man upon their shoulders, declaring the praises of Jaw and chanting, "Our hero has come! The serpents are done!" Flying Man reveled in the praise and, despite being in significant pain from his bruises, managed to lift his arms in triumph and chant along with the barefooted country folk. The adventurer said to his father quietly, "I do not see this coming to a good end for us," at which Father nodded in agreement and looked concerned. The lean young man watched the concern of his mentors and took on equally discerning facial expressions. Meanwhile, the curvy, curly redhead proudly bounded along with the barefooted country folk in the revelry. The troop of celebrants made their way to the tiny village of small huts and stopped in an open glade upon which all the huts looked. They continued their chant until the rest of the village was looking in. The village was made up of all barefooted country folk, except for a group of 13 elders, or they appeared to be elders, but they were as small as children, wore great big boots, and stood in front of the village's one large hut. The smallest of the elders stepped into the ring of celebration, raised her gnarled old hands. The barefooted country folk all became instantly silent. In a squeaky little voice, the tiny elder required,
"Oh, what have we here? A hero, you say?"
Yes, we have seen with our own eyes. He crushed a serpent with his bare hands. He is a hero indeed," replied one of the barefooted country folk. At this, the barefooted country folk began to chant once again. This went on for quite some time, until the elder raised her hands and they were silenced.
"We shall see. Let us declare the feast."
At this, the village roared in approval and began scurrying about preparing a feast.
The barefooted country folk ran in and out of their little huts, gathering food, arranging tables in the center of the clearing. Their small huts were shorter than the average-sized adult, so they had to bow low to enter and stoop while scurrying about in their huts. Despite this impedance, they quickly had the tables set up, and the clay chimneys were smoking with the scents of succulent meats, breads, and steaming vegetables. The tiny elders sat at the door of their rather immense hut, proudly watching the circus of work. They spoke to the travelers about the village and its history of being overcome by serpents until the great hero had delivered them. But the serpents eventually returned and tormented the people once again. Inside their own large hut were 13 small beds and a chimney in the center of the room with a roaring, comfortable fire, a large woven basket, and a large beam with dead snakes hanging by their fangs from the wood.
"I see you are perplexed over the serpents on the beam,"
the eldest replied, looking at Flying Man.
"There are times when we must turn one of our own over to the power of the great serpent, because they carry serpent spirits too difficult for us to cast out. But you will learn more of this during the feast. This basket here carries the live serpents we are able to contain for this task."
One of the elders opened the basket, and the lean young man peered over the edge and quickly jumped back at the sight of dozens of poisonous serpents wriggling at the bottom. The elder cackled and closed the lid. Within an hour, the tables were set with food, and the 40 or so barefooted country folk were gathered to be seated. Two strong men carried a great chair into the clearing and set it at the foremost table. Around the great chair were set four more chairs, and the adventurers were offered their places at the feast, with Flying Man taking the great chair. The tiny elders took their place across the clearing opposite the table and the great chair, and the eldest rose to declare the beginning of the feast.
"Let the great feast of the great hero begin," she declared.
At this announcement, four women ran from table to table, tossing a fine peppery dust in each villager's face. The barefooted country folk sneezed loudly, and we'd declare one by one, "Bless Jaw, who delivers me from the serpent spirits." The four women bowed, finished their peppery task, and stopped before the elders, bowing even lower. The elders then each took a small pinch of the peppery dust, sniffed it, and sneezed. At this, the barefooted country folk cheered. The elders then nodded to the four women, who then in turn walked to the table of travelers, bowed deeply, and suddenly threw an extra-large portion of peppery dust in their faces. The five travelers sneezed violently for a few minutes, except the lean young man, who had held his breath long enough to avoid the peppery dust, and then proceeded to pretend to sneeze. After the sneezing fit ended, the crowd cheered. Plates were filled with food, happy conversations began, and one by one people came forward to speak with Flying Man and declare their great joy that a hero had finally come to save them from the serpents. Flying Man took it all in with not a little pride and a bit of wonder about the meaning of their fantastic declarations. After some time, the travelers and the barefooted country folk had stuffed themselves and sat back burping and rubbing their bellies. The eldest of the tiny elders lifted her gnarled old hands and declared,
"Before the test begins, we have family business to complete."
With that, a young barefooted boy was brought out into the center of the open glade and was made to stand alone as the village stared at him silently.
"Three times have we attempted to relieve this young boy of the evil spirits of stealing, and yet this fourth time he has stolen again. We now know what to do. Have we any village disagreements with this choice?"
No voices spoke up in favor of the young boy, but the lean young man noticed a family across the open glade, grasping each other tightly and holding back their tears. The lean young man bit his lip tightly and kept silent as best he could.
"Bring the serpents, then,"
commanded the eldest of the tiny elders. Two strong, barefooted countrymen carried the large beam with the dead serpents hanging on it into the open glade. The two men then carefully removed five snakes from the branch.
"One serpent for each finger of your right hand. Now we turn you over to the power of the serpents you serve."
One strong man held the arm of the young boy out straight, and the other wielded the serpents like a whip, driving the fangs deep into the flesh of the young boy's arm, who screamed in high-pitched agonies. The travelers looked on in horror at the barbaric sight, and the family across the glade turned their faces away and hid from the sight. After the second snake had been driven into the young boy's arm, Flying Man could no longer contain himself. Leaping onto the table and then far into the open glade, he knocked the strong man swinging the third snake onto the ground and shouted with a great shout,
"For Jaw's sake, what are you doing? This young'un just needs a little teaching. Some love and some faith. He don't need to be beat by dead snakes."
At this declaration, the barefooted country folk all gasped and jumped back.
"So, is this your hero? Your serpent killer? It seems to me he has a devil of unbelief, and he needs a deliverance. What do you say?"
The eldest elder was now standing on the table and with her hands on her hips, tapping her big boots on the tabletop. The barefooted country folk murmured among themselves. Each took the large satchel they had been carrying over their shoulders and opened it. They moved toward Flying Man slowly and deliberately. The travelers jumped up and moved to his side. That is, all but the lean young man who was now nowhere to be found. The barefooted country folk surrounded the adventurers and began to chant,
"Come out, you devil of doubt! Come out, you devil of doubt!"
Soon a flurry of peppery powder was flying at the travelers. Barefooted country folk were running up to the group, reaching into their satchels, and quickly flinging handfuls of peppery powder into their faces. They performed this trick so deftly and quickly that the travelers were soon enveloped with a thick cloud of peppery dust. Their eyes and lungs were burning as they inhaled it, and they were forced into sneezing and coughing fits. All the while, the barefooted country folk kept chanting, "Come out, you devil of doubt!" After almost 10 minutes of this torturous onslaught, the barefooted country folk stopped the pepper assault and stepped to the side of the glade opposite the elder's table. They kept chanting as the travelers now laid on the ground, hacking, sneezing, and gasping for air. Suddenly, the missing lean young man deftly leaped out between the barefoot country folk and his friends, and in his hands he held the large basket of live snakes from the elder's hut. He poured the snakes on the ground between the barefooted country folk and his traveling friends and left just enough snakes in the basket to toss some on the elder's table. The eldest danced and stomped and screamed at the high-pitched screams, and the country folk danced and screamed or ran as far as they could go and still watched the spectacle. Soon the whole little village was screaming and dancing. The lean young man grasped the adventurer's hand.
Can you see me? No, I think I've been blinded by the dust, the adventurer stammered between gasps and sneezes. The lean young man said, "We will make a human chain, and I will lead you out of here while there is still time." He quickly explained what he was doing to the blind, coughing, gasping, sneezing troop and linked their hands together and lastly took the young boy with snakes on his arm and put his hand in Flying Man's hand. Then he took the adventurer's hand and led them like a slow, clumsy human train to the edge of the village, away from the barefooted country folk, still dancing and running away from the snakes. Slowly, they made their way down a small hill with the lean young man speaking loudly and directing them all along the way. "I do not know where to go from here, but we shall try our best to escape," said the lean young man. "We can help and would like to join you. It's the least that we could do." The family who had been crying earlier was now standing behind the travelers offering their assistance. "Mommy! Daddy!" The little boy with the snakes was dangling from his arm, still shouted with joy in between his stifled sniffles. "Hurry, we have no time. I can take you away they will not come, away they are afraid to go." The father picked up his son, and the group of travelers followed a narrow, dark path through the woods as best they could, traveling with the adventure, his father, Flying Man, and the curvy, curly redhead gasping, coughing, and sneezing, and having to be led by the hand all along the way. The end of chapter 14, Journeys from the Land of Jaw. A missional tale.